All right. Well, I am so privileged to share with you this morning. And those of you who have been here for the past couple of weeks, we've been sharing on a series called Jesus Is. And it says, Jesus is blank. Now, we left that blank because it's not because we didn't want to fill it in. We wanted you to fill in that blank, for you to say who Jesus means to you. And I'm so encouraged to see the banner out in the foyer. If you haven't seen it, it's in the foyer. And you've written on there, Jesus is. And I saw a lot of different things of who Jesus means to you. And so, so encouraging. Jesus is. Finish the sentence. We just celebrated Easter. We celebrated Good Friday, the day when wrath and mercy met at the cross. And that's why Good Friday is so dark, but yet it is so good. So good. Jesus taking our place on the cross that was meant for you and meant for me. He took our place. But then Sunday came. I don't think you heard me. Then Sunday came. Let me rewind a bit. Then Resurrection Sunday came, and Jesus rose from the dead. And because He lives, He is our resurrection King, our resurrected King. And today, we may carry a lot of crosses. Each and every one of us may have a cross, not a physical cross, but we may be carrying a burden. But can I say today, we may be broke today, but we're not going to be broke much longer. We may be in a pit, but we're not going to be in that pit much longer. We may have a broken relationship, but we may not be in that broken relationship much, much longer. We may have an abusive spouse, but guess what? He or she will not be abusive anymore because Jesus is our hope. And this morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus being our hope. Living hope. Our living hope. Now let me mention something before I go on. I'm going to share a couple of stories. And it's going to involve a couple of people. What I don't want you to do is to fix your eyes on the person or the people that I'm going to share about. I want you to fix your eyes on the person who hung on that cross, the person who shed His blood for us. I want Him and Him alone to be glorified this morning. No man, no woman to be glorified. Can I ask you to do that? Look to Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have it, it's going to be on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle Peter, you know, he goes out to say, he said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope, not something that's dead. That's why we never, ever put our hope in man. In man. And I tell my family all the time, never put their hope in me. Never. Trust me for sure to do things and get things done, but never put your hope on me. Put your hope on God. Put your hope on Jesus. Birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, a lot of people today are hopeless. They're walking around hopeless. But it's one thing I want you to remember this morning. If you don't remember anything other than my good looks, good, you're listening. You're listening. Good. That was a test, okay? There's one thing I want you to remember, okay? Jesus did not die on the cross for us to be hopeless. He died for us to be hopeful. Not hopeless, but hopeful. That's why he died on the cross. Well, you may say, Les, what is hope? What is hope? Here's a definition of hope. Hope is the happy anticipation. And I stress on that word, happy anticipation, that something good is going to happen in your life. Expecting that something good is going to happen. You know, we talk a lot about faith, and don't get me wrong, faith is such an important component of the Christian life. Faith is believing. But hope is knowing that something is going to happen. It's knowing or expecting something is going to happen. And folks, we need faith, yes, but we need hope. We need to have that spirit of expectancy. Now, I'm a nice guy. I'm a very nice guy. Thank you, Sean. Thank you. And my girls and my wife will tell you that. He's a nice guy. The girls will say, he's a cool guy. You know? And good looking. That's right. I'm a nice guy. But I got to tell you this. Okay? And I say it in all due respect. And please love me. Continue to love me. You can send the emails to Pastor Tim. I believe, as Christians, that we ought to do an attitude check. Just got really, really quiet. We got to do an attitude check. Jesus did not die on the cross for us to be hopeless. He died for us to be hopeful. We ought to do an attitude check. If I'm a Christian, I proclaim to be a Christian, and I know Jesus resurrected from the dead, I gotta have a positive attitude. I can't walk with my head down. What are you expecting today, Les? Oh, no. Whatever happens, happens. Oh, no. You know? Listen. And I'm so passionate about this. I'm sorry. I'm so passionate about this. Jesus is our living hope. And if he is our living hope, then we can have such a high level of expectancy because he died for us to have hope. Listen, if you were Jesus, I've never been to heaven. I'm going to get there one day. One day. But God ain't finished with me yet, so I'll be around for a while. Jesus did not leave heaven, his heavenly place, heavenly glory, to be born in a lonely manger, to have a crown of thorns placed on his head, to have his body beaten, to have the flesh ripped off his body when they hit him with the whip. He didn't do all that for us to be hopeless. He did it all for us to be hopeful and to expect great and mighty things from him, folks. Great and mighty things. You know what hope is as well? Hope is refusing to give up. Refusing to give up. And I know there are many storms that comes in our lives. Many, many storms. Some small, some major. regardless of the storm, Jesus remains our living hope. Let me read you a story. Charles Darrow is a young man who lived in the 1920s. At age 20, he had a goal. And I like when young people, elderly folks, I like when young people establish goals for their lives. You know, it's great. It's great to work towards something. So Charles had a goal. And his goal was to become a millionaire. Now, this is the 1920s. And $1 million was a lot of coin, a lot of money. If you fast forward today in the 21st century, that will equate to about $15 million. But something happened in the 1920s. Can anyone tell me, any historians here, what happened in the 1920s, later in the 1920s? The Great Depression hit in 1926. Charles and his wife Esther lost everything. Everything. Here's a man who had a goal of becoming a millionaire in the 1920s. But the recession hit. Lost everything. Charles was crushed, devastated. He walked around the house depressed. He ended up telling his wife, he said, "Esther, dear, our goal is dead. You better leave me and go find someone else who will take care of you. Because our dream is dead. Our hope, there's no hope." Thank God for believing wise. Ladies, I tip my hat to you. Thank God for supportive wives. You know, it's a good thing to be around positive people. You need that. You need to be around positive people. You need to be around people that would say, "Brother, sister, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because God is still on the throne. And Jesus is our hope." So Esther, being the believing woman that she was, she told Charles, "I'm not going to leave you, Charles. I'm not going to leave you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to reach our goal." And Esther said, "Every day we're going to do something to keep our dream alive." Charles, typical man, said, "Alive? It's dead. What do you mean, keep it alive? It's already dead. Look around. It's a Great Depression." Esther did not give up. She did not want to let their dream go. And this is what she told Charles. She said, "Every day at night, we are going to spend some time to discuss what we're going to do when we become millionaires." So they would start talking every night after dinner. They would start to fantasize on what they're going to do when they get all this wealth. And Charles, through the support of his wife, he started to make something called play money. Play money. He says, "Well, since we don't have real money, I'll make play money. And since I'm not working, I'll make lots of it." So him and his wife made play money and they started to play with the money. And then they said, "Let's pretend to buy houses, properties, hotels. Let's pretend to do all this." And yes, you probably guessed it by now. It was the beginning of that famous board game called Monopoly. And you probably have one of it in your closet or in your basement, you know, in that box that's way, way, way behind. Didn't end there. It didn't end there. Hang on. Charles and his family, they so enjoyed the game that in 1934, they persuaded Charles to approach the Massachusetts game firm called the Parker Brothers. where the executives of that firm played the game, but they rejected it. They found it boring and the rules too complex. Now, I can't put two and two together here. I have executives playing a simple game and said it was complex. But that's what happened. So they rejected it. So what happened to Hope? Gone again. But Charles, this time, and Esther said, we're not going to give up. So what did they do? They approached Warner Maker toy store back then. And he told them that if they stopped the game, he would take out a loan and buy make 5,000 of these games. Well, guess what? The game took off. And then the Parker brothers, the firm who rejected the game, approached them again, and they played the game again, but this time they found the game very exciting, easy to play, and oh, so simple. So simple. The game was copyrighted in 1935, and Charles and Esther sold the game to the Parker brothers for $1 million. Hope is refusing to give up. Friends, as Christians, we are such a privileged people because we have the hope of glory living in us. And how much more can we expect from God? Because we have the life of life in us. We have the resurrected King in us. And we can expect so much more from God. The late Billy Graham once said, and I quote, "The greatest need in our world today is the need for hope. We thrive on hope. We rejoice in hope. We witness in hope, knowing that experience works hope." He goes on to say, happy is he whose hope is in the Lord, his God. There is hope for the future, said Billy Graham. It is centered in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the grave and is alive now. And here's what Billy Graham, the late, great Billy Graham said. And I love this portion of his quote. He says, "I, Billy Graham, have staked all that I am or ever hope to be on him." On him. You see, hope has to do with the unforeseen. It has to do with the future. And I know as humans, sometimes we're in situations that we think cannot change. But can I tell you, there's only one thing, only one person that cannot change, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else can change. He said in Hebrews 13:8, he says, "Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever." You know, as we read the Bible, we read all the great stories and the miracles that Jesus performed while he was on the earth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning, what he's done in the past, he can do today. He can do today. Jeremiah 29:11. Here's what it says. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I want you to picture this. I want you to get a visual. When Jesus was on the cross, hands nailed, feet nailed to the cross, his head bowed down, the blood would drop from his head because of the thorns, the crown of thorns that was put on his head. And every drop of blood not only cried out mercy for Les, mercy for John, mercy for Sean, mercy for Adam. I invite you to call your own name, mercy for, it's interactive. Sorry, I should have said that. Not only cried out mercy for us, but you know what it cried out? It cried out hope for Les, hope for John, hope for Sean, hope for Adam, hope for Jesus died on the cross so we can be hopeful, not hopeless. Well, you may say, Les, that is great. That's awesome. I've been hoping, but nothing ain't happening. Nothing isn't happening. Well, here's what I'm going to say. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to wait on him. He's in the midst of the storm with us. Now, let me ask you a question. Can anyone here see around a corner? If you can, come see me. I want you. We can't see around that corner, around that bend. But you know what? God can. God can. He is working in our lives. And when Jesus went to the cross, his story did not end there. It did not end there. And our story doesn't end now while we're going through this storm. It is not ending today. You know, hope is like a woman being pregnant. You know, we talked about pregnancy and talked about babies. You know, Christine and Pastor Tim just had their baby girl. Now, I've never been pregnant. Just want to clear that up, okay? Never been pregnant. My wife went through 2 pregnancies. And I heard that when a woman is pregnant, there is a sense of expectancy. There's anxiousness. Oh, I want to see that baby. I want that baby. And the longer, and this is what I've heard, so I'm just selling it to you the way I bought it. This is what I heard. The longer a woman is pregnant, the greater the expectancy is. The greater it is. I know when our daughters, we didn't know it was girls, we were surprised both times, but I was so anxious. I was so expecting to see, you know, I wanted to make sure that they got my good looks. You know what? I want to make sure and, you know, look at them after, right? And make them feel, embarrass them, okay? Embarrass them, all right? They did get my good looks. Here's the smooth talk now. You know why they got my good looks? Because my wife still has hers. Ah. I lost mine to them. All right? I have no idea where I am. No idea. Paul, help me out here. Help me out. Jesus is our living hope. And just knowing that he is our resurrected king, that should give us a high level of expectancy. Listen, attitude, again, is very important. And we got to have a positive attitude. Have to. We got to wake up every morning and say, today could be my day. Today could be my day. Today could be that day that I've been praying for. my spouse, my troubled teen, my neighbor, my brother, my sister. Today could be that day. High level of expectancy because Jesus is our hope. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, listen to what it says, familiar portion of scripture. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Remember I was telling you earlier that sometimes we're going through the storm and it feels like, God, where are you? Where are you? We need to wait on God. Do you know why God references or uses the eagle as an analogy for us? Do you know why? It's a question. No, okay. All right. Here's why. And I didn't know this. I had to research it, all right? But here's the neat thing. God never makes a mistake. The eagle, right? We all know the eagle, right? It flies fast, has strong claws, you know, can see, I don't know how many miles ahead. But the interesting thing about an eagle is that an eagle knows when a storm is coming way before it actually hits. The eagle knows. And what does the eagle do? It flies to a high point, waits for the storm. It doesn't escape the storm, fly away from the storm. It flies to a high point and waits for the storm. When the storm hits, the winds of the storm takes that eagle and has the eagle rise above the storm. Rise above the storm. God compares us to eagles. During the storms of our life, folks, we can rise above the storms of life because He is our living hope. Rise above the storm because He is with us. In Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27, the familiar portion of scripture, and we probably all know the story. The disciples went out in a boat. Jesus went out in the boat as well. In the middle of the sea, there was a great storm, a furious storm. So the disciples, humans, started to panic. Where was Jesus? He was in the boat, but what was he doing? I wouldn't snore this time. I snored in the first service. It was good. It was good. I wouldn't do it to you guys, right? Jesus was asleep in the boat. But yet, there's a storm raging. And the disciples were terrified. So what did they do? They went and they said, Jesus, there's a storm. There's a storm. Save us. Save us. What did Jesus say? O-E. Of little faith. O-E of little faith. Jesus got up, commanded the sea, the waves, the storm to be calm. And immediately the storm went away. Hope was in the boat with them. All the time. And folks, when you're going through your storm, hope is in your boat. Hope is in your boat. Jesus is in the midst of your storm, and He is there for you. Don't take the presence of a storm to indicate the absence of God. God does not orchestrate the bad things that happen in our lives. He doesn't orchestrate it, but he uses those bad things for good, for something good to happen. Hope. Hope takes the darkest hour. It takes our darkest hour and turns it into our brightest hour. Amen. That's what hope does. I shared this story a couple years ago. And I want to share it again. I believe it fits very nicely with living hope. There was a girl. And when she was born, she was prematurely born. And it was said that she could have fit in the palm of the doctor's hands. Hope for survival was very, very minimal. Very, very minimal. She had to be fed with feeding tubes to try to keep her alive. Miraculously, she survived. She survived. When she was four weeks, when she was 4 days old, her father was brutally murdered. Didn't know her dad. She grew up with her mom and siblings. Her mother then developed a medical condition when this girl was about 8 years old. And when she turned 14, her mom died. Didn't know her dad. Her mom suffered for years and passed away. Left to be brought up without parents. And she thought, what's the purpose? What's the point living if life is just filled with pain and sorrow? All hope was lost. And during this period of grief, she had suicidal thoughts and almost attempted to commit suicide because life was just not worth living anymore. A relative moved in and invited her out to church. After some months passed by, she surrendered her life to Jesus, remained faithful, and started to hope again. Started to hope. She then met a young Christian man whom she believed that God had placed him at the right time in her life. Again, no one to take care of them. Moved in with their grandfather who took care of them. But when she was 17, tragedy struck again. Grandfather died, left with little to no income, little to no food, little to no hope. Trying times. Hope was again lost. And the question came, why? Why, Lord, why? But she knew that God had a plan and a purpose. God saved her at birth when she should have died. God saved her from a suicidal attempt. She knew that there was something that God was working in her, through her, and she refused to give up. Hope ignited in her life again. And instead of hating life, she started loving life because hope was restored. Her and this young man got married, and still married today, served in Sunday school programs, youth group, served in many churches, never, never looked back. And today, for the past 30 plus years, tears of joy have replaced tears of suffering. Laughter have replaced sadness. In fact, you can't wipe the smile off her face because Jesus got her hoping again. And now life is great. Life is great. You see, hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. And if you were to ask that young lady today, all grown up, she's my wife. If you would ask her what changed, she would tell you, because he lives, I live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. And if you ask her the song that's on her heart, she would say the song is, Jesus is my living